there's been a lot of talk about the Holy Ghost these last couple weeks, so I wanted to get up and do my part and give my share of what's going on. Having a little trend of everybody sharing their experiences of the getting the Holy Spirit, so I'd just like to share my experience. So, and it was certainly nothing. There's not a whole lot to it, so to speak. I didn't feel like I was one of those people that really. I don't have a big, elaborate story behind it, I guess is the best way I know to say it. I was 11 years old when I received the Holy Ghost at the campground in Kentucky, and it was just a typical story. I was a little kid. I would go up front and try to get prayed for and, you know, try to get the Holy Ghost. I didn't get the Holy Ghost. I would go up again, try to get the Holy Ghost. I didn't get the Holy Ghost. And one, I remember specifically, I don't know how I remember this being so little, but I remember one time I was, I had heard talk about, you know, when you get the Holy Ghost, you will know when you have it. And I think I just wanted the Holy Ghost so bad that I had gone down front and I prayed, and then somebody, and then I told somebody I got the Holy Ghost, and they said, "No, Caleb, you didn't get it this time. I'm sorry." I said, "But I know I got it. I know I got it. I just wanted it so bad that I just had myself so convinced." Well, I mean, I learned better. I learned later, you know, what it took. Evidence of speaking in tongues, you know, that real. It wasn't just a matter of sitting down and saying, "I'm sorry." I had to really press in and get, you know, close to God, get really yield myself completely over to Him. I also remember having the mindset, you know, I had almost like a checklist in my mind. Okay, first I need to get baptized, and then I need to get the Holy Ghost, and then I can go to heaven, and then I'll be good. So I remember getting baptized, and I told somebody, "Now all I have to do is get the Holy Ghost, and I can go to heaven." And I was all happy about it. And then I remember when I finally got the Holy Ghost at the campground. It was actually that song that we just sang, not this. Yeah, "Lord, my heart is open, won't you come inside?" And they were playing that song at the campground. And I got down, you know, sought the Holy Ghost. Some other kids got around and prayed with me. Some ministers prayed with me. And I sought it on after the service was over. The song was over. Some people were still around praying, but some people had gone on home. But I wanted the Holy Ghost, so I just sat there. And people worked with me, said, "Push on through. Don't worry about what's going on. Don't worry about people leaving. Don't worry about the song not playing. You need the Holy Ghost, so you need to just make that your focus. Work toward that. Don't worry about what anybody else is thinking or doing. This is between you and God." And I broke down. I kept on pressing. And the next thing I knew, I felt like a wave. I guess it's different for each individual, but for me, it felt like a wave of warm water washed all over me. It started at my feet and then just shot up my body, and I fell to my knees and I just started speaking in tongues. And it just came out. It just rolled off the tongue, and I have vague memories of myself running backwards up onto the steps of the platform and then jumping off, then running backwards up the platform and jumping off again. And it was a wonderful experience. And I remember feeling like, yes, I have the Holy Ghost. I did it. I finally made it. I'm good. So I can just... No. I'm thankful I know better that was just the beginning. And that was just the beginning of my walk with God. And that Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit that I received, is not the end. That's just the beginning of a greater walk, a greater journey. And I think everybody... if you don't know, I think most people in here know that. If you don't, you need to get into your mind. The Holy Spirit, when you receive the Holy Spirit, it's not the end. Yes, it's a wonderful thing. It is a milestone in your life, but that is the beginning of your walk, and it will get hard. And I found that out as I got older. When I was little, you know, I thought the Holy Ghost would solve all my problems. And it did help me to solve all my problems, but, you know, ultimately I had to make the choice to serve God. I had to learn how to make the right choices. And a lot of times, the mindsets of people around me, I guess what you were saying, Brother Phil, about David, I got to really thinking about David, and his experience with the lion and the bear after you said it. And I saw a comparison in there to when David went out to deliver the food to his brothers, and all the Israelites, the king of Israel, they were all terrified of this giant. And David referred back to his past experiences of when the Lord delivered the lion into his hands, Lord delivered the bear into his hands. And we look at the story of David defeating this 10-foot man, or 12-foot, I don't remember, but he was a tall man. He was a giant. We hear stories about the giant, but, you know, think about the experiences he endured with the lion. I mean, that was a pretty intense situation in itself, I'm sure. I don't know. I'm not sure how he killed the lion, but he did. He slew the lion. He slew the bear. And that was pretty impressive in itself. But he knew that God delivered the lion into his hands. God delivered the bear into his hands. So what was a giant? What was a giant to God? And, you know, I think David could have very easily given in to the mindsets of the people around him. He could have very easily thought, wow, they're right. Goliath is a very big man. I'm not sure we can do this. But he remembered his past experiences. And because he remembered that, and because he held on to that and didn't just let it, I'm sure when he killed the lion and he killed the bear, he didn't just blow it off and say, thanks God, I appreciate it. He held on to that and he carried it with him. When he slew the first beast, I'm sure when he slew the second beast, he remembered that God delivered the first beast into his hands, and that helped him in his face to slay the next beast. And he could have very easily given in to the mindsets of everyone around him, though. He could have forgotten. And I think, you know, I want to say, especially as a young person, but really as anybody, it is very easy when you are with your peers and your friends, your coworkers, your associates, and they put all this negativity in your ears. You can look at the struggles that your friends are going through, or your associates, or your peers are going through, and it can bring you down if you let it. It can really get you discouraged, and I know, because I've hung out with some of the wrong people that really got me down, and I would talk to them. You know, sometimes there were people I'd even try to help to encourage them, but then they'd keep on with that mindset, and that mindset would start to affect me. And it's easy as a young person to look at your peers as an example rather than looking to God as an example. It doesn't matter how. I say young person, but me, a young adult, or it doesn't matter what age you are. You can look at your peers to an example. You can see the things in their life and think, I want to be like that. And there are things, even things that may be bad, that stand out, that you think, I want to be like that. When really, I should be making Christ my example. I think it's very important to remember, I still consider myself a young person. I like to. I feel young. I still hang out with young people, young unmarried people. I guess I can still be considered a youth, right? So, and as a youth, young people influence me. And I also know I influence other young people. And rather than yield to the things that, to the negativity that Saul was thinking about this giant, I'm sure, you know, David had his beasts that he slew, but I'm sure Saul had his own that the Lord had brought him through. That every one of those, I mean, every one of those Israelites had their own stories. I'm sure most of them, at least, had some kind of walk with God. They had their own things, but they chose to fear the giant, regardless of what God had brought them through. I mean, and like you were saying about, the Israelites were supposed to remember by the Passover the things that the Lord had done for them when delivered them out of Egypt, but so many times they forgot. And David could have yielded over to that. And who knows the devastating effect it might have had if nobody was willing to have enough faith in God to stand up to their peers, to stand up to their peers and have faith in God and say, no, I know my God can take me through this. If my peers are doing something that they are too weak, I put quotations, too weak to stand against, and they act like it's just too hard, it's too hard to live with a righteous standard, it's too hard to listen to the right kind of music and give up the wrong kind of music, it's too hard to dress with a righteous standard, it's too hard to speak positively rather than dwell on negativity to people. It's too hard not to get wrapped up into the things of this world. It's so easy to get into my head that it is too hard. It's too hard to face that giant. That giant is too big. But based on the things that he knew that giant was not too big. And we need the Holy Spirit to give us strength. And the older I get and the more I go through, the more I realize what the Holy Ghost was for. The Holy Ghost does not get me into heaven. It paves a way so that maybe one day I might. It helps me to have a personal relationship with God. It helps me to have faith, to know that I can stand against that giant. Because I've faced my own lions, and I've faced my own bears. What is the giant I'm facing right now? How is that any different? And I can't let Saul tell me otherwise. I can't let my brothers tell me otherwise. Because I have a powerful God. I have a mighty God. I serve a mighty God. And because David had enough faith to stand against that giant, that he won the battle for all of Israel. It took just one person stepping out and having faith. And think of how much faith, at least for the time, that gave Saul and the Israelites to see David take a stand and prevail. And I want to remember how much good I might be able to do if those around me, if I have peers that are saying it can't be done, but I have enough faith in God and I do it anyway. If someone tells me it's not profitable to get up and talk in church, that I get up and I talk anyway. And maybe I can touch someone else's life. If it's not profitable for me to witness to somebody in the world, for me to tell them about the love of God, it's not profitable because they're not going to listen. They're not going to listen to you. Nobody's going to listen to you. No, no. If I have that mindset and I listen to what people are telling me, the giant won. And I don't want to be one of those that didn't have faith. I'm kind of just going on a tangent here. I'm sorry, but I want to have faith. I really do want to have faith. I really want to have enough faith that I can stand up for righteousness, that I can be an example to others, that I know the Lord has brought me through these things. I know the Lord helped me stand against the lion. I know he helped me stand against the bear. Watch me stand against the giant. Watch how mighty my God is. That's the kind of faith I want to have. I'm thankful to be here tonight. I'm thankful for the spirit we feel, and I'm thankful for the revelation we have. I'm really looking forward to seeing where this body is going. I'm thankful. Thankful for all we have.
I know, like Brother Smith said one time, you know, you might already say your testimony, but there's others that weren't here at the time you said it, so hopefully I won't bore you, but a lot of you know that whenever I first came, I was, the Redwood City people were here, and a few of you know what they're like. They're very, you know, outgoing, and they don't understand no. They don't know no. That's not in their vocabulary. Well, they dragged me up front, and here I go, and I was like, okay, remember this. I've never been to that many Pentecostal churches. And when I was a kid, yeah, but, and again, we used to hide, cover under our coats and all that because whenever we saw people, you know, manifesting, but at the time we thought they were crazy. And anyways, they grabbed me. They didn't let none of the Little Rock people around. They just grabbed me and started, and I was scared. And so I did not speak much English. I spoke more Spanish then, and so I started praying in Spanish, thinking, oh, you know, Lord, help me. These are crazy people. They want to kill me, you know. And they go, you got it, you got it, you got it. I go, oh, okay, whatever you say, you know. But I was telling them in Spanish, you know. I kept speaking in Spanish with my eyes open, telling them, in other words, you know, I'll do whatever you say, you know, just don't hurt me, you know. And that's, I was crying. I was being honest and sincere. And so they were happy for me. They were jumping me up and down. I wasn't doing it on my own. And I was little, so they were lifting me up and down, and I was like, oh, my God. So anyway, they told me I had it, okay? I did, but I didn't know what I had. I've never known about the Holy Ghost. And so through the years, and I started, I talked to somebody. I can't remember who it was, one of the brothers. I don't know if it was Brother Bragg at the time when he was here. But anyway, one of the ministers up there, and I told him, because he was talking about the Holy Ghost at the time, and about manifesting and all that. And I said, okay, so if you go dance and you praise the Lord and all that, you got the Holy Ghost. He goes, well, that's part of it, but you have to speak in tongues. You know, that's how you know that you have the Holy Ghost. And so I was like, okay. But I was embarrassed. I didn't want to tell him, you know, that I didn't think I had it. But I finally went to Brother Liniger, and I told him. And that was, I waited all them years. 85, because I danced with everybody, you know. I got good at the dancing and all that, and running the aisles and all that stuff. But it really bothered me. So I left for 7 years, and then I came back in 85, and I would talk to Brother Liniger, and I said, Brother Liniger, it's really, really bothering me. You know, people say I have the Holy Ghost, but I don't think I do. I don't remember speaking in tongues. And he goes, don't preach that you would know if you have it. And he said, yes. You will know without a shadow of doubt. You don't let people tell you have it. He goes, Sister Linda, just continue to come on up, and we'll pray for you. And I said, okay. So I did, and this one day I went up, and oh, my goodness, nobody could tell me that I had it. I knew because I saw, I mean, I was praying, and I always imagine to try to get in the mode, you know. I always imagine, you know, it's my own fictional thing that God is sitting on his throne, and he's watching me, and you know, like he's cheering me on. And so I was really, when I said, Lord, I'm here. I want the Holy Ghost. I need it. And I started, all of a sudden, I saw this big old light. It was like it's coming toward me, and it hit me. And next thing I know, I was speaking in tongues because I wasn't speaking in Spanish. I was speaking in tongues, and I knew without a shadow of doubt I had the Holy Ghost. And no, I still have it, and I hold back a lot of times. I want to do because of my, I can't, I want to run, but I can't. I hate that word can't, but I don't want you, people have to lift me off the floor, have to get a crane to get me up. But anyway, I am so thankful. I thoroughly enjoy everybody's words today. And I was going to, I was going to say about how I got here is, you know, another thing that Brother Caleb was talking about, peers influencing you. And that's one thing that my father, he was so strict. Baptist minister was so, so strict. I mean, we didn't wear pants, shorts, or nothing, sleeveless, nothing. And, oh, he was strongly against everything, and just like a Pentecostal minister. And so at the Baptist church, we had, after church, some of the kids would go out to the back of the church. And, of course, you know, they were my friends, so I'm going to go back there with them. And I remember one time they started smoking, and they said, here, let's try it. I go, no, I don't want to smoke. He goes, one of them goes, quack, 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 quack. And I said, are you calling me a chicken? And they go, yeah, you don't want to smoke? I said, well, you go ahead and smoke. I said, I'm going to keep my lungs by. And I walked away. And I was the type, I didn't care. I didn't care if they called me chicken. I wouldn't want to go along with them. And it seems like I look back and I think I never really, I did what I wanted to do. And I never really would submit to them. You know, and I never steer as when I left the church and I started partying, I never did smoke. I didn't see what can you get out of that. You know, start coughing. I did. I tried. I wanted to see what are they liking about this? You know, what's so big about it? So I tried to puff and oh my God, I started coughing up a storm. So forget it. I don't want that. You know, but I can't say anything about the Jack Daniels, the brother Daniels talks about, and the others. But it seems like I only did that just to get nerve to get out there and dance. But anyways, I'm thankful. I'm so thankful that I had a father that really stuck to his guns about morals and all that, and taught me never forgot all that. And then I was thinking about also like living on the same street that Brother Lineker's church was back when I was 12. And my father working with Brother Lineker painting, but we didn't, you know, we visited his church, you know, but my eyes weren't open. That to me, that was just another church, just like any other Pentecostal church. And then my grandma got real sick. She was dying, so she was at the hospital in Houston, and Daddy was so close to her that we sold our home in Moore, Oklahoma, and moved to Houston on Milam and McGowan. There was an apartment building there, and we moved in there, and he took an ad, looked at the paper, and saw an ad that Brother Walker was advertising for a painter, and so he hired him, and he invited us to church there. Not where the church is right now, it was in Milam and McGowan, one of those streets, and we went to church, and I remember Brother Patton asking us to sing, because he found out that Brother Walker invited Dad, and he was a Baptist minister, so we sang How Great Thou Art, I felt, that's the first time that I felt something was different. I mean, you know, I was a couple of years older then, and I don't know how to put it into words, but I knew, I felt ashamed when I was up there because I had worn a dress. I had left my dad's to go to Texas for a little while and then came back, and during that time I was away from my dad, I was allowed to wear those, what you call baby doll umpire dresses. I don't know if anybody remembers those, and I felt so naked. I felt, you know, ashamed. And so I thought, well, why am I feeling that way? But, you know, at the time I didn't know, but later I knew that was the Holy Ghost was so strong that, you know, made me feel guilty. So anyway, when we moved to, I went back to live with my aunt, but when then Daddy brought us back over here after him and my stepmother got the Holy Ghost here under Brother Tucker, I found out that's what it was, because the Holy Ghost, you know, later, you know, how it made me feel out of place, I guess. I mean, I felt, I could tell the difference. And Brother Tucker, I told him about it. He said, right there, that was a revelation, because you knew the difference. He goes, God was opening your eyes little by little. He goes, someday you're going to get your own vision. And I didn't know what he meant by that, but later it took a while, and I finally knew what he meant, because I was coming to church, warming up a bench, knowing I'm supposed to be here, praising God, doing what I was supposed to do, but I really didn't have a full vision, because I also was coming for my son. I wanted my son here. I wanted him to grow up just like my dad wanted us to grow up in church. He's got to be here, you know. But God knew that I wasn't here because of him mainly. More so, I was because of my son. And he put me through a lot of stuff, took me through a lot of sicknesses. And And I had this one surgery where I was recovering, and my son left. And I kept getting lower and lower, and thinking, you know, Lord, I've been serving you these years, and then this is what happens. You know, I lose my son to the world. And so when I had the surgery and I was recovering, and God started showing me some things, and I said, okay, I surrender, Lord. I surrender all to you. I am yours. Whatever it takes, I'll serve you no matter what. Whatever I have to go through, even if my son comes to church in a casket, I will serve you no matter what. And in 2 weeks' time, he brought him back, and he's back. And I know it wasn't me. It was God. And because he saw my heart, he knew I was sincere. He knew I wanted to serve him. And I still stand on those words. Whatever it takes, I will serve him no matter what. Because he's tried me many times. Believe me, he has tried me. But I'm thankful. I am thankful for all the trials and tests that I go through, because I know that I need them to grow. And I know that it's going to get harder, so I'm going to have to be stronger. And I know that he's there by me every step of the way. And I want to be able, like Brother Ogden was saying about, let others see Jesus in you. You know, you don't want to have to be, hey, I'm a Christian. I want somebody to be able to come to me and ask me, which at Walmart they have. Where do you go to church? You know, because they see me wearing, you know, dresses and stuff. Because you know the world now, they don't wear dresses that much. And so I invite them. And I have had some people in the past come to church here from Walmart. So that's all I want to. I just want be a light in this dark world, and just do what God has me here to do. I want to be an example, and I want to be able to help anybody that needs help. And I'm just so thankful. I'm so thankful that God kept his hand on me all these years and saw something in this fat Mexican now. But he was so merciful. I know God, that my grandma and my dad, God had a lot of mercy stored up. And I know that they say that mercy doesn't last forever, or you can out, what is that, where you can outgrow? No, you can outdo your mercy runs out or something like that. I don't know how you say it, but I know that God, there's another, see, I'm bad about, my memory's bad. I have a lot of senior moments about God will not, the Spirit will not, come on, guys. You know what I'm talking to say. His Spirit will not dwell. Yeah. He will, you know, you can lose out. And I don't want to become a bench warmer again. I want to be able to get up and tell God I appreciate everything. Because one thing here, oh, my goodness, y'all, this is something big for me. You know, I've told y'all a story about when I get out on the road, you know, you know, don't get in my way. I'm going to get that finger and point at you and all that. And I mean, I don't cuss or anything, but I mean, I get irritated. Well, did you know I only did it since January 1st, because that's when I made my pledge to myself, to God, that I was going to try to be better. And I didn't lose it, but because my grandkids were with me, I go, when I said something, I go, what is wrong with you? You know, oh, and right away, I go, oh, I'm sorry, kids. I said, I didn't mean to do that. I want to be patient. I want to you know, be an example in front of my grandkids too. And he goes, well, you can start all over again. And I have done real good the rest of that month and February. Well, we're just in February 8th, but I mean, it's big on for me. I mean, you can tell Bonnie today we're in the car, and I had a chance to say a couple of things, but I made a lot of boo-boos. I went in a one way, and I thought, well, what if somebody would have come in this way? They would have been pointing their fingers at me. But Bonnie goes, just go this way. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. So I just took it, you know, and we have a time when we get out there in the car. But I am thankful God kept his hand on me, and he's going to try me. I know he's going to try me. Keep on trying me, Lord. I'm here. And that's why I don't want to take this for granted. Because I know, you know, one time I might have took it for granted. Because God led us here. But he didn't. I was kind of forced to come here. But he finally gave me my own vision that I'm here because of him. Not nobody else. You know, if my whole family doesn't, you know, walk out or whatever, I'm going to be here till he comes. And I thank you, everybody, for praying for me and for being my family.
Here today, and mine kind of like Caleb's, it's not a real big story or anything. For when we started coming back here during the meeting, I was telling myself that I wanted to, you know, if I was going to come to this meeting, it's not just to mess around and just sit in your seat and, you know, just kind of listen and everything like most people do. You know, I wanted to try and, you know, see God and actually, you know, I wanted the Holy Ghost. And so after the meeting, I hadn't gotten it yet, but I did go up a few times to the front, and I've been prayed for, and it felt good and everything, but I still hadn't got the Holy Ghost yet. So I was talking to Caleb about it probably about a month later or so, and or maybe two, and he said, well, we'll pray for you when it was Sunday night. And so I think it was a youth service, and so he asked me if he could pray for me, and so he did, and I got it, and as soon as I came out of it and everything, I told him, I said, I got it. And so I don't know what I was doing while I was being prayed for. I think it was Caleb and Zach and I think Joe was behind me and everything. I'm not who else. I wasn't really aware. But something else I told Caleb about it, but I'm not going to tell his story, but came home one night, and I don't know why, but I was just thinking about him for some reason. And we went to bed that night, and I was praying for him because I wanted him to have the Holy Ghost too. And of course, I want my sister too, but I was just thinking about him that night for some reason, and I prayed to God, and I was in tears, and I was praying to him, and the next night, he got it, very next night. I was just sitting in my room listening to Christian music a lot, because it's something that calms me down and everything, and just soothing to me, and all of a sudden, I started hearing crying, and I was in my room, or our room, and I started someone crying, and I was like, what is that? And so I turned down my music, and I heard Noah crying, and I heard him speaking in tongues in there. So I just started crying. I said, thank you, God. I just wanted to say that and say I'm thankful to be here today.
Speak in public impromptu, so this is, you know, like a once a year thing for me, but I want to thank the Lord tonight for being here, and I want to give my testimony. It's, you know, everybody, I guess they have their own opinion, and I feel like, you know, mine's not much. I was 6 years old, and remember standing up there with all the sisters and, you know, just praying and singing songs and raising, you know, me and Sheila Michelle and Janann and several others were up there, and I just raised my hands, and it just came over me. You know, I wasn't really just saying, God, you know, I want the Holy Ghost or anything like that, but he filled me, and there's not been a day that's gone by that I haven't felt, I know my God is real, Caleb. I know without a doubt that my God is real. I'm so thankful that I don't, you know, all my life I've grown up knowing who Jesus is. He's my favorite song growing up was Jesus is my best friend. And I've known that, you know, there's not been a time that you know, I have thought that, you know, Janann or Amanda or whoever was my best friend. But I knew God was my best friend because he was the only one there for me when, you know, when mom and dad and everybody else had disappointed me or whatever. I could pray to God and I knew that he was the one that was listening and he was my true father. You know, he was there for me. He wouldn't leave me. And like Joseph said, you know, I don't want to tell Noah's testimony, but he's a lot like me. He's bashful or shy or reserved or whatever you want to call it. But that week, you know, we've been talking about the Holy Ghost a lot in church, and I could tell that something was bothering Noah. But he's very quiet and easygoing and, you know, just a pretty happy child, just not much bothers him. And that week I noticed every night that week he had gone to the couch and just laid down and was just not being Noah. And I thought, well, maybe he's coming down with something or, you know. But I got home from work one day and he was laying on the couch covered up and he said, Mom, can I talk to you? I said, sure, Noah. He said, I want the Holy Ghost. I just don't know how to get it. And so I started talking to him. I said, you know, do you want to go pray and you know, talk to God about it? And he said, yeah. And so we went to my bedroom, and it wasn't 5 minutes, and he was speaking in tongues. I'm so thankful. I heard Anthony pull up in the driveway, and dogs were barking like crazy, and Anthony comes in, and I could hear him. Like, what's going on? You know, what's going on at our house? But you know, I'm so thankful that he heard Noah's cry and he blessed him and Joseph too. And I just want to tell you, if you haven't received the Holy Ghost, it's here. If you can't be in this room and not feel his spirit, it's just amazing. And I'm just thankful to be here and glad to be home. I know a lot of you don't know us that well. I was born and raised in this church, and we were married and had our family here, and we moved to, well, we were driving down to Glenwood for about 7-8 years, and then we were privileged to move down there, and but God moved us back home, and I'm glad to be here. Thankful that everybody has accepted us and taken us back in. I've missed all of you, and I love you all. I'm thankful to be here.
There are some things I may not know. There are some places I don't go. But I am sure of this one thing. My God is real, for I can feel him in my soul. Well, God is real. He's real in my soul. My God is real, for he has watched and made me whole. Well, it's love for me.
touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know He touched me and He made me whole. He touched me. Oh, He touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know He touched me and He made me whole. Oh, He touched me. Oh, He touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, now I know He touched me and He made me whole. Oh, He touched me. Praise God. Praise God. We have a we have a wonderful promise in that the Lord has made He's committed Himself to us, and we think of Jesus and His we think of Jesus living His life as the ultimate act of faith. And it was. He absolutely had faith that God would provide all of His needs. But in that faith, He also, in the faith that He had in His Father, He also had a reckoning, a belief, a desire, a hope that humanity would follow in His footsteps. He had faith in God, but he also, I don't know if I can use the word faith. I'd like to. I'd like to say that He had faith in humanity also. He walked in shoe leather like you and I. He dealt with the temptations of the flesh like you and I. He recognized that He needed a Savior. Just like you and I need a Savior. He put Himself in a situation to become our advocate, to become our representative, to become the one that makes the argument for our salvation. He is totally invested in your success. He's totally invested in your prosperity and your salvation. He took everything He had. You know, as they say, He bet it all on the white horse. He took everything that He had. And He gave every single ounce, every last drop of blood, every hope, every dream, every desire, everything that He had, and invested it in us, thank God, in humanity. Wow. Woo! And he said, you know, I'm paraphrasing here, but He said, Father, I know that the debt that they owe is unbelievable. The debt, you know, I don't even know what the U.S. government's debt load is right now in the billions. Trillions. And so much so that it's impossible for this country to pay it off. In the foreseeable future, there's just no possible way, short of conquering another country and stealing their wealth. The debt load that humanity owed was much greater. The debt load that humanity owed for the price of sin was incalculable. But Jesus, that didn't stop Jesus.
He didn't look at that mountain of debt and say, are you kidding? That's impossible. There's no way I could pay all that. Did you see what they, you know, he didn't just go down the list of every wrong thing that every person, and then just forget it. It's too great. He didn't do that. He said, bring on that giant. He said, if that giant of sin is great, my God's able. He said, if that lion in that, Brother Painter is great, my God's able. If that bear is great, my God is able. The Bible says that anything that's done without faith is sin. We have power. We have unbelievable power available to us. And it's measured to us in our faith. That little woman, she was sick, the Bible said, with an issue of blood. And she pressed. I don't know how tall she was or how short she was. I don't know how strong she was. I don't know how great the crowd was, but she didn't let it stop her. The Bible says that she pressed. She pressed through the crowd. Jesus told his disciples, he said, if you had the faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you'd say to that mountain, be thou removed. How many times have you seen a young man, well, I'm thinking myself sometimes, go to pick something up, and it's just a little bit heavier than what I could move. Now, you can raise your hands if you want to, but how many of y'all have ever tried to pick up a car? Now, see, there's a few head nods going on around here, because I know that a lot of young guys will try to do that. They walk right up to that fender. I got this. And then they're met with reality. They're not Superman. Now, you get a couple guys together and you can move a Volkswagen. I know that to be true. The owner of the Volkswagen wasn't too happy, but... But, you know, the thing about it is, Jesus said if you had the faith, the grain of a mustard seed, you could walk right over that car, pick it up. Mountain. Whatever. It's an act of faith. Not in ourselves, but in God. Now, I had faith today when we pulled in this parking lot this morning that we'd have... that y'all would come to church. I did. I had faith that y'all would be here today. And I'm sure that you've felt the same way. Maybe not consciously. You might not have thought much about it. But you know how it is. You pull up in the parking lot. You start counting cars. Start looking to see who's here. And, you know, that we're exercising our faith in the Lord. And sometimes I think, you know, we have this, at least for me, I have this notion that it's like I diminish faith. It's like it's only reserved for when I need something great. But that's not the case. When you pick up your Bible, when you take time to pray, when you're humming a song, when you're calling somebody to check on them, when you're texting or communicating, when you're bearing witness of the gospel, whenever you're expressing an act of kindness, you're acting out your faith. You're exercising your faith. You're exercising the things that you believe in. Now, I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of people in this world, they got confident, they believe in all kinds of crazy things, and all kinds of wise tales, if you will. Old wives' tales. They've got all kinds of stories and things that they have confidence in. And some of it's reasonable, some of it's maybe not so reasonable. But when it all boils down, at the end of the day, when our need is met, the Bible says that every good gift comes from the Father of lights. Praise God. Paul said here in Romans, Romans 10, he said the righteousness which is of faith, Romans 10 and 6, speaketh on this wise. Say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven, or who shall bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. He said, but the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. The word of faith is, It's the righteousness of our faith. The word of faith is, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. We can dress it up, we can dress it down, we can add this, we can take away that. We can bring things in, we can take things out. But if you want to get to the very narrow perspective, the key to your salvation is you've got to just accept. I don't mean that that's the finality of it, but it's the genesis, if you will, that God raised up Christ from the dead for your salvation. That is righteousness. That is the beginning of faith. It's the beginning. It's the word of righteousness. He said, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. There is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. The same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And of course, then it goes on. It says, how can they hear? It says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Praise God. Praise God. How beautiful is it when you know that you know that salvation has come to your life. When that little woman, she knew, but she didn't latch on to it. She didn't hold on to it yet. But she knew it was capable, and so do you. You know whatever your circumstance is and whatever you're lacking in your life, you know that God is capable of providing for your need tonight. We know that some things are for His glory. We understand that. We know that ultimately our need is salvation. And that little woman knew it too. And she pressed through that crowd, and she didn't let anything hold her back. Love hearing stories about people getting the Holy Ghost. Different environments, different settings. Don't let anything hold you back. Wherever you are. Oh, it's intimidating. It's intimidating on the job to bow your head and pray. Or when you go out to dinner with people that you work with, or maybe you're going to dinner with a customer or something like that, or a vendor, or some client, I found for me personally, if I've gone to dinner with a bunch of people, they don't care if I pray or if I don't pray. And I'll bow my head and give thanks. I don't ask their permission. But I don't do it in a way that would be offensive to them. You know, I don't, you know, interrupt their conversation. If they want to stop talking and show respect, that's up to them. But I still give thanks. And if it's just me one-on-one with a customer or vendor, whatever the case, do you mind if I pray? Do you mind if I give thanks for my meal? I've not had one person say, yeah, I mind. I don't like that. I've never had anybody tell me they didn't like that. Not ever. On my job, you know, it's hard. I want to say it's hard, but it's not hard. It's difficult to know when you're being an example and when you're just doing the job. There's challenges. I recognize all that. What I'm saying to you is don't be ashamed. Confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed of who you are. Don't be ashamed of the fact that you've received the Holy Ghost, that you speak in an unknown tongue. Don't be ashamed of the fact that God has reached down His hand and touched your life. People won't understand. I recognize that. I've got a saying at work. I said, look, we make the hard look easy. This church makes the hard look easy. I'll guarantee you, you go out into religion or go out into Babylon and they don't worship. What comes easy for us in worship is really hard for a lot of people. It's really hard. It was hard for me when I met this people. I didn't understand the idea of raising your hand in church. I didn't understand. I didn't understand the idea of standing up. Why are they standing up? What does that mean? Why are they clapping? People clap in church. There was a lot of questions in my mind that I didn't put. You know, I didn't recognize. It was hard for me, but it was easy for other people. And so on my job, I tell them, so we make the hard look easy. Well, think about God. Think about that healing. Think about that deliverance. Think about that bill that got paid miraculously. We think of them as miracles. But with God, it's all in a day's work. He makes the hard look easy, don't he? He makes the impossible seem possible. Is that your faith tonight? Is that your faith tonight? The impossible with man? Is that your faith tonight? The impossible with man is possible with God. David, Moses, Daniel, the Hebrew men, Jesus, Paul, Peter, they surrendered. They recognized, I can't do this. I can't do this on my own. With me, it's impossible. With God, nothing is impossible. With God, nothing is impossible. With God, nothing is impossible. That little woman, she touched the hem of His garment, and the Bible says that she was healed. There was nothing impossible in her life when God came on the scene. Woo! My God of heaven. He said, if you have the faith, Oh my God. Oh, God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, Savior, oh God. Oh, 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 God. Oh, oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, my God. Oh, la 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 la. Oh, la 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 la. Oh, my God. Oh, la 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 la. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, la 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 la. That disappointment? Have you surrendered that sorrow? Have you surrendered that hope, that dream? Have you surrendered that lost friend? Oh God. He said, if you have the faith as the grain of a mustard seed. He doesn't expect you to pick up that car. He doesn't expect you to have the strength to move a mountain. He expects you to put your hope, your trust, your dreams, your vision, your desires, your wants. He expects you to put all that into His world. He holds the world in His hands. Does He hold your world? Praise God. Only believe. Only believe. Only believe. Oh God. All things are possible. Oh Jesus. Praise God. What a wonderful service. Wonderful day this has been. Praise God. Don't forget, we have our sweetheart dinner this week, coming Sunday. There won't be service next Sunday night. We'll have dinner, and or have service, and then our sweetheart dinner. $12 a person. You can write your check to the church and pass it to Sister Gladys, or you can... Oh, I guess what I'd like to do is maybe get a raise of hands. Praise God. I know. Seems trivial, doesn't it? My God, why don't you just praise the Lord? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, Savior. Oh, God, hallelujah. Oh, God. Lord, we love you. Jesus, sweet Jesus. Oh, God. Praise God. Just let Sister Painter, I know if you're planning to attend, take this with you. Praise God. Move this week by faith. Let your steps be directed of the Lord. Praise God. Take this sweet spirit that you feel here with you. Oh, God. Remember those that are sick, those that are afflicted, Brother Smith and his need today, Brother and Sister Crow, Brother and Sister Wallace, Sister Watson and her need. Sister Donna Henderson, praise God. Sister Abraham, Brother and Sister Bryant. Just remember Brother Crafton's mother and his sisters. Sister Crafton, Sister Wilson's father, husband. Brother Smith, just remember him. Sister York. Brother and Sister Beth, stage 4 cancer. Also, remember Sister Youngblood there in the Wichita Assembly. She's 90 years old and is also in stage 4 breast cancer. Let's remember her. Yes. Sister Holly has an unspoken request. Remember her and Brother Paul McGowan. He wasn't feeling good today. Brother. Okay, remember Sister Fisher and Hannah, they're both feeling poorly tonight. Brother Daniel's sister, Sister Ann Thompson's friend she works with, whose husband has stomach cancer. See, God's the solution. He's the answer to these problems. Sister York. Let's remember Brother Josh York. Yes. Natalie and Michelle. Praise God. All right. Let's trust the Lord. Let's take our needs before Him. Let's take this Spirit with us. Oh, Savior. Oh, Savior. Oh, Savior. You see these needs, oh God, but you're the solution. You're the answer, Lord. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, hallelujah. Go with us, Lord, and keep us in your care this week. Lord, we bring all these needs, all these requests, all these heartfelt mentions of prayer. Lord, we bring them to you. We know and trust, Lord, that you'll provide every need. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God. Good night, everybody. Have a good week.